Excited to welcome Grace College head coach Dan Davis to the basketball podcast. Coach Davis is the head women's basketball coach at Grace College, where he's established one of the most successful eras in program history. His coaching career spans over 200 total wins and includes both NCAA and NAIA coaching experience. Davis's teams are known for a style of play, achieving national statistical ranks in scoring offense and turnover margin. His aggressive approach led to the Grace College women's basketball team setting a collegiate scoring record in a 172-91 victory, which stands as the most points ever recorded in a single game by any collegiate women's team across all divisions of college basketball. During his tenure at Grace, Davis led the Lancers to the 2024 NCCAA National Championship, securing the program's first ever national title, and was consequently named the 2024 NCCAA National Coach of the Year. The 2022-23 season marked a significant breakthrough as Davis guided the team to the NAIA National Tournament for the first time and set new program records for total wins 24, conference wins 13, and the longest winning streak 7. Prior to Grace, Davis coached for 10 years at Auburn University Montgomery. At AUM, he compiled a record of 157-139, led the Warhawks to two appearances in the NAIA Division I National Tournament, and was named the Southern States Athletic Conference Coach of the Year.
Hey, Coach, a brief time out from the podcast to bring you the Analytics Minute, sponsored by Hoopsalytics. Do you know which players should be taking what kind of shots? An analytics system like Hoopsalytics can help your team make better shot selection decisions. You can track every kind of shot each player takes, where the shots come from, rate the shot quality, track if the shot was contested, and see the results. For example, see which players are taking mid-range floaters and measure the results versus catch-and-shoot jumpers. As an added bonus, Hoopsalytics shot charts are fully interactive, so you can filter by shot distance, shot type, or even specific areas of the floor. Then watch video clips of all those shots or see the points per shot. Hoopsalytics brings the most powerful analytics to teams of all levels. It's easy to use and affordable. It's like AI for basketball coaches. Visit hoopsalytics.com/ball today. That's hoopsalytics.com/ball today to learn more and start analyzing your games for free.
Coach Davis, welcome to the Basketball Podcast.
Man, glad to be here, Chris. Appreciate it, sir.
Honored to be connected with you. And the reason
likewise.
I found out about you is because your team set an NCAA record. 172 points in a game across all of women's college basketball. That's the top score ever.
It's still hard to believe when somebody says that. And even watching teams on TV when they at all levels right now, they put up 112 points. And I'm like, wow, we still, how did we do it? And it's really been neat to some of the doors it's open with somebody like yourself to people asking about the system. It looks like you just put this in. And so it's been really neat to be able to share kind of my experience a little bit in the record as well.
It's going to be awesome to dive deep into this, but let's start with a little bit of the context of this. Just over a year ago, you decided to put in the system, and obviously incredible results already, but talk to us maybe about that process first.
I've always been intrigued by the Grinnell system, always. I've been in this 27 years, and my first couple of years at Auburn Montgomery, I've always intrigued by it. I even got Arsenal's Thin Book, and I studied it and just watched and learned and just love probably the part that I've always enjoyed about it. And my high school coach, we pressed a lot, but the freedom he gave you on the offensive end, I just always really. And I know there's a million ways to do it and let kids and teams do it, but I love when kids know they have the freedom to play and let them go instead of that fear of making mistakes or that, do I shoot, do I not shoot, and everything. So always been intrigued. And so last year we've had a change of graduating a good core of players that have been with us. It's been successful. And our senior and junior class is small. We got a lot of freshmen and a lot of sophomores. And so even as the year went last year, I was sitting with a friend at Lee University, Marty Rowe, and he was asking, what do you think about Tennessee's new coach Kim doing that? And I was like, man, I'm intrigued. I love it. I can't wait to see. It's in the SEC. And then he said, Mark Campbell, who's a really good friend of his, and I know as well, he said, Mark's been doing that last couple of years at Union, Tennessee. And I was like, wow, really? So that even intrigued me more. Coach of like him totally changed his style of play. And so We've played Olivet over the years here, and then and Lauren and I've talked about it. We've pressed some here. Then Lauren told me, spent a day with her in the summertime. I bought the book, the system book, and got the Grinnell videos. And she's saying Doug Porter is in South Bend still. And I was like, what? No. She goes, Doug would love to talk. He'll help you in any way. So she gave me Doug's number, and we connected when he was at Bethel. We had a lot of good just conversations and everything. So I reached out to him, and within a week, him and I got together at this my favorite breakfast place for about 4 or 5 hours, and we just talked system. And so then, and I was all in going, I like, we were going to do it. And I asked Doug, I said, Doug, would you be willing when you can come to practices and just watch, take notes, and help me install it? I tell you what, Chris, he's been a game changer. Just his humbleness and his authenticity to that my girls love him. And he's just been a real, I don't know. I know, I don't think we would be able to have as much success that we've had right now without him. And then also the failures we've had, he's really helped me go through it. My enthusiasm for it has not wavered. We've had some highs and lows. I look forward to sharing that. But yeah, it's our first year and we got our butts whooped by St. Francis. And now we had three girls after we set the record and go down with some minor injuries. And we had two of our leading scorers miss a combined 4 games each. So I think we had about 10, 12 games of three of our better players missing. And we kind of lost a little bit of a rhythm and flow as we went in the conference. And I think it shook our confidence a little bit. But at the same time, it's really allowed us to grow and it's really taught me a lot. And as I'll get into more of those specifics, but I love it. My girls love it. It's been a really game changer for us. They love it. And as I told you a little bit before, we're putting it into my twins' youth team that plays a little bit of AAU ball as well. So I'm sold out to it. I'm all in about it. And I've really, it's been real rejuvenating for somebody that's 50 and been in it 27 years.
It's been a while since I had David Arsenault on talking about it. So this is a great
Wow.
time to refresh everyone a
Yeah.
little bit. So let's start with that. Give us the really
Yeah.
short version. What is the system?
It's press, run, rebound, and shoot it and sub, right? And just pressing on makes, pressing on misses. It's transition. We're trying to score anywhere between 5 to 15 seconds, heavy on the threes. We have the formula. We're trying to get somewhere in that 85 to 90 plus shots. We're trying to get for somewhere between 25, 30 plus turnovers, with half of those being steals. We're trying to get. We're averaging, I think we're second in the nation with threes. Olivet's first. We're getting up 38 threes a game. Our percentage is a little low. I think that'll come. That's just still learning to play through some fatigue, playing that fast, but we're getting those up. We're making 9 a game. What else? We want to get 20 offensive rebounds a game. We're averaging, I think, around 19 a game. And we've had some lopsided wins, some lopsided losses and things. And as we've gone through it, I've been told that. And yeah, and then we're platooning, we're subbing. And we've experienced with different things. We had two kids injured early in the year, two non-contact, a knee and a shoulder. So that's changed some things. And so we've been pretty steady with a rotation of 9 and then working in the other three and then how we do our shifts and everything like that. But, and we've made some mistakes where we're like, okay, out in California, we played really just 7 to 8 players and we were gassed. And I was like, all right, we got to go back to the, what we said was the Ohio Christian ch shift chart a little bit because we got everybody back again, all the healthy ones. And that really made a difference, subbing in that 45 seconds to about a minute range. So that's the, yeah, the short version. Play fast and you can't play fast enough, man.
Now, traditional Grinnell system is we're not really caring about defense as much. We're trying to just get steals. And if we give up baskets, that's fine because we're going to counter it with quick strikes and get more baskets. And obviously, three's worth more than two, which is part of the mentality as
Yeah.
well. So are you carrying that forward? What is the defensive approach?
I would say we're more trying to be, you know, we want to be solid defensively. We're willing to give up some twos. We know we're going to. And that was a big thing for me a little bit. So talking, Doug is that traditionalist reporter. And but talking to Lauren a little bit, talking to Mark, look, you're going to give up some twos in the press by being aggressive. Just stay aggressive. Keep playing fast. Don't slow it down. Somebody's beating you in the press. Stay aggressive. You're going to want to go more contain. You're going to want to be, don't. You're trying to instill this. So, from a defensive standpoint, we're going to err on the side of being aggressive. And I would say early in some of our conference, we've probably given up, I think, some too many easy points in that. But at the same time, it's been on us by not being aggressive in the press, still getting past that. It's okay to go up, to go and get that steal over the top. Don't sit back a little bit. And so We want to be a little more, we want to be better on defense than what the traditional Grinnell is. We are playing man. We're switching everything, trapping ball screens. We're trying to deny one pass away. We might need to do a little bit more gap, a little bit based on some things with personnel. Those are some of the things we're learning. But I also know Doug said, look, it may take until January to really click on all cylinders. And it may even take a year. And I understand that as well.
For one game, it didn't take that long, did
No, and you
it?
know, that game, we had everybody and it just all came together. And the crazy thing was, we didn't shoot as many threes. It was just the transition and everything. And then after that, we had a couple girls go down with some concussions and a knee tweak. And so we lost that rhythm, that flow. And then it made me question even some things and figuring out. So it's been as much as success in that game. And we in the third quarter, we quit pressing. And we just did man, and then we looked horrible. And so then they were like, hey, you're close to this record. And we thought it was the NEI, and we're like, man, we gotta go for it, right? So we went back being more aggressive, made sure we were running, and we got it. And of course, there's some negative side to it. And when the athletic interviewed us, and I told them, trust me, that went through my mind. I thought about that, but we had a chance to do something. These kids work really hard. And you know what? If it gets broken, it gets broken. If it doesn't, it's something that we can all take back down the road and have. And it's the style of play. And to Ohio Christian's credit, they were running with us, man. They were shooting it too and getting it up. And that's what we want to have happen. But it's been good. It's been good for our girls. They know they can do it. But then we've had some struggles with it where we've learned, okay, maybe against some other teams that are better. We may not get it as quick. We just need to get the ball to the third side and we'll get that quick three. Just learning some things like that as well.
We can talk about some of those struggles, but I
Yeah.
watched the game on Synergy. If saying anything, you guys started a little slow even in
We
that
did.
game.
Yes, we did. I didn't realize until I went back too. I was like, holy cow, man, we really did start slower. Yes,
At the
sir.
beginning, when I was watching it, I was like, really? They got to, and it was like, but obviously he kept coming. And you mentioned the transition and particularly the hit aheads. So talk to us a little bit about, are you designating lanes and runners for certain spots? Are you designating inbounder? And then what is the philosophy with that in transition?
So great question, because that was questions Doug and I had, and I wanted to go with whoever's closest to the ball takes it out. So we do it that way, just closest to, and then we have done more of the numbered break. The Paul Westhead said we want the two on the right, the three on the left, our five, our centers, the rim runner, and then our trail is our four, and we have it that way. It doesn't always have to be that way. We're good with that. We have some that need to probably have that structure, but then there's certain girls, they're pretty good filling any of those spots. And but we've kept it a little more structured that way. We went away from it kind of a couple weeks ago, and I didn't like the way it was. I felt like we were that wasn't good. Let's get to those lanes. And I think it's made a better, they like it that way. I think the accountability, but they also have that freedom based on maybe sometimes who takes it out. And then if we don't get, we want to try to, like I said, 5 to 15 seconds, and we emphasize that pitch ahead. We get the circle motion. We want the point guard is designated. We want to find the point guard, makes or misses for the most part, get it to the point guard's hand. And we got a couple girls that are really quick getting it down and getting to those spots. So that's how we generated it. We got a couple simple actions, whether we pitch it ahead, an inside cut on the strong side, or what we call it flip too, where you cross it the middle of the floor, pitch it ahead, inside cut. And then we got a trail option through the trails and the dribble drive toss back. And then we, or just a straight reverse through the trail. And then if our big, our center happens to not be down there, they'll just set a little simple drag screen. They're allowed to get into the drag screen. So we pretty simple getting into it.
Awesome to understand that a little bit more. Talk to us then about if it does become neutral. Obviously, if you have an
Yeah.
advantage, you're trying to score, you're taking a quick two, which took a lot of quick twos in that game, from a
Yes.
pass to the rim runner, pass to a wing, drive to score. If not, obviously, you got a lot of open threes. So let's say you don't have an advantage. What are you doing if you don't have an advantage?
We just get in what we call our four game. And it's honestly, it's just Bill Self, Kansas Jayhawks four game that he's run for all those years. And it's just got that cutter short toss, like almost a handoff, trying to attack from the corners. I don't think it's quite dribble drive. We haven't instilled a ball screen out of it yet. We'll probably put a ball screen over the holiday a little bit just to have some other actions. But it's just really trying to get into the paint for the rim twos. And then, as the book says, and Doug, knockdowns, that inside out three. And that's pretty much it. Very simple, to be honest. We got the people underneath shaping up, but we've tried to, my word for the year that I chose personally, but it also ties in, is just simplify. Really trying to create simplicity within what we do. We just put in some set plays. We had three in from the first game, but we just put a few in over the break that will work a little bit more, where we might use those on some dead ball situations, or when we want to get a breather and maybe we got a group in too long, we'll call that set to just maybe get a little bit of a breather and things like that. But yeah, that's literally what we're doing on the offensive. And the struggle was against some of the better teams, or getting into conference a little more, was that it's an excuse, but it's the reality. We were down 20 plus point score, an 18 point and a 15 point score over that. All we never had our full squad in conference play. And but what we got was we tried too much taking that quick three when it really wasn't there, or that force that drive where, hey guys, we're going to probably have to get it to the third side real quick. And so our men's coach, Scott Moore and Jordan Wagner, I was talking to them, and they were saying they struggle sometimes with that too. And they call their motion 50. And they said, man, we just tell them 55. And 55 means 4 to 5 passes. And I was like, what? And so we just told the girls, we started working on, look, 45. And what I want you to think is you're making 4 to 5 passes just to get moving a little bit, because we were standing. We weren't getting some cutting action. We weren't moving the ball, swinging it to the corners and flattening it out, so to speak. So that's really helped us, I'd say, over the last three games. But then at the same time, you're making sure that you're not putting the brakes on them, because we do want that pace. We do want to get those shots up. And then the other part at times that we've got to keep emphasizing is making sure we hammer the glass. That's just been a big thing, hammering the glass. And then we've turned the ball over. We've had some games where we've been a little bit turnover prone, and everybody's told me that's going to happen some because of the pace. Just be patient. Don't slow it down. That'll clean up. And I do believe that too. A lot of it's us, self-inflicted, just us. Again, trying to clean that up and really hammer that. Like I tell them, shoot it and just go freaking get it.
Love that, and love that mentality of that. So this was brave for you in a sense, because you were having success and you had success in your career playing a little bit differently. So talk to us. You've mentioned already the struggles, but talk to us maybe first about what this has done for you and your coaching.
Oh man, phenomenal question. It's really brought a joy to coaching. And not in anything bad. It's just it. Those that know me, I'm a very high energy, intense guy on the sideline, very enthusiastic in practice, and it just really fits me from a personality standpoint. And I think there was that fear. We all want to control everything as a coach, and I've always felt like I don't want to control everything. And I think it's that fear, because I read an article on Kim Caldwell. It was so good. It's not gimmicky by no means. And it is a style that can be very successful. And there's a lot of different ways to add your touch to it. But for me, just really gave me the freedom to really let go. And more importantly, I think give the women the freedom to play. And women can overthink a little bit too much as a basketball player. And it's really trying to create that freedom, man. It is about playing super hard. And we always use the term perfect effort. And Mark gave me that perfect effort. You're going to make some mistakes. It's not about being perfect. It's perfect effort. And I love the fact that from a recruiting standpoint, I think it really widens your recruiting base. You don't have to be, yeah, I would say one of the things is finding kids that can shoot, obviously. But I also think you can also find a kid that's just an ultra competitive kid that's got a super motor that's just going to play super, super hard, and they can help. And I think I probably did some disservice to players that have played for me, because I put limitations on them, but they played really hard, but maybe they weren't the best shooter. But in this style of play, I think they would have done well. And I also think at any level, but in our level, it really allows me to know exactly the kind of kid I want to recruit from a, take out the character and the off the court culture stuff, but basketball wise, it really makes it simple, exactly the type of players we're looking for, whether it's speed. I heard Andy Landers say once, runners and shooters, they can't run, they better shoot. They can't shoot, they better run. And so I would say, from a combination recruiting wise too, I think it's going to, and we can tell freshmen, hey, you're going to play. like our freshmen are playing. We have some starting because they're going, you have to play, you need them. Because everybody from a conditioning, where I studied a lot of Nova Southeastern, and I know Clutchfield down there plays his guys more. It's unbelievable what they do, but it's that same kind of style as far as pressing on makes and misses and some things and some similarities, but his touch, obviously, and way he does it. So I think you see it at so many different levels, but it was a change I was committed to, and I have not wavered one second from it.
I love
And I'm
that.
not going to, not going to. I love it. It's brought a lot of joy.
I can tell. I can tell.
Yeah.
And that's fun. And clearly, you loved coaching before and you love it a little bit
Yeah.
more now. And
Yep.
giving up some of that freedom, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I want to
Yeah.
go to I would argue, the most important part of this, which is how do you train your players, and you mentioned the women particularly, to embrace risk and play fearlessly without becoming reckless? Because that's one of the beautiful things about this type of system, right? It frees them up from a lot of kids that have been coached with extreme constraints.
Yeah.
Do exactly this, don't do that, only shoot this shot, blah, blah, blah. So talk to us about freeing these players up.
I've always emphasized over my time, don't think play, don't think play. They ask a million questions. And so from that standpoint, it's been a structure from so going into the summer, we really put them through a running program. We gave them the first month to just do some things, get moving. And then the last 2 months, it was a grass track and a court workout. But they also had everything was in a Google sheet. So they had to record. We gave them times, this, that. Then from a shooting standpoint, they had to make, I think it, I got a, I can't, if they shot, made it all the shots, I think it was like 12,000 shots. So we had to make a certain amount of threes a week, twos, anywhere they want in free throw. We're kind of instilling that from a standpoint, this is where we're going to. And then as we got here and got into the style of play, my biggest thing learned, Doug was very impressed with how good a shape we were in from our first practice. But what I learned was first, the biggest thing is not running, it's sprinting. And your sprinting is not my sprinting. And really, and that's still something constantly drilling is how you sprint on offense, how you sprint on defense. You know, we took things from Clutchfield, timing them out of traps, timing them and just sprinting from behind. This is how you sprint. And then from an offensive standpoint, I think it's just been through some of the drills that Doug has taught us. It's the 3-on-2 from half court. You're just playing 3-on-2. You're going against the defense for 2 minutes. It's competitive. 4-on-3 rebound and same thing. And it is pitch shoot. And relocate to the top of the key, scatter out, four to the boards, and just over and over that repping scheme, right? Repping it, dummy down and back, pitch ahead 1-2 for three, pitch ahead 1-3 for three, just that constant. And then in the scrimmages, just saying, okay, we're playing in 12 seconds, 15 seconds, 10 seconds, and teaching them how to get down that quick, get that shot up that quick, and just trying and knowing it's going to look ugly at first. But just trying to instill that aggressiveness, like you said, and just constant everything we've done is trying to get that speed and improve that pace and get those shots up quick. And yep, there's some crazy shots. You're going to live with some things. But again, it's understanding you're trying to instill that mentality and talking to Mark, talking to Doug, talking to Lauren, the videos, just don't, whatever you don't slow down. And that's the part that as a coach, you got to let go.
There's no doubt that's got to be a big part of the challenge. And
Is.
maybe separate from the system,
Yeah.
just give advice to us as coaches. How can we get our players more confident to shoot the shot when they've got the shot? Because that's, again, one
Yeah.
of those main parts is there's a lot of talented players turning down open shots or hesitating on open shots. And the system definitely unlocks them, but that's an extreme. So maybe just
Yeah.
give us the
Oh.
mental psychology, the mindset ideas of how we can do that for our players.
I think two things. It's real simple. Number one, you're just constantly instilling them to shoot it. You're not getting on to them if maybe they took that quick shot or that, you know, you gotta just instilling them to shoot it. Shoot it. Don't hesitate. Yeah, if you got one more and that better shooter's open, find her. That's the unselfish. I think the third thing, and we started doing this a little more lately, instead of stressing about the shifts and the minutes, guess what? She didn't shoot the ball. You're coming out. And I'm a big believer. My high school coach, he's passed now, Ron Link. I was a good shooter in high school. He would never take you out for sh missing shots, but if you passed up a shot, he'd take you out. And I've always been that way. And for me, you better shoot that shot. If you don't, you're gonna sit. And it's to me that is instilling confidence in that young lady. I don't care you miss three in a row. You're open. Shoot it. No, and we always try to tell our girls, we use two names around here. The last thing, be Curry-like mentality and Caitlin Clark-like mentality. Don't you even think about it. Let it go, and you believe the next one's going in. And if I'm right, I think Curry had his worst shooting night, and the next night he set the NBA record for threes made. And we just try to instill that. So coaching the women, those are two players they're going to know, Curry and Caitlin Clark. Hey, Clark mentality, Curry mentality, let it go. And so I think a lot of it is you as a coach reinforcing that belief in them because they need that belief. There's no doubt about it because they're not used to it. Even girls, I've always had a player that scored over 2,000 points for us. And I would tell her, look, Maddie, I'm going to get on your butt in some games about your shots. Just so everybody knows, I'm yelling at you a little bit about that shot. You just better keep shooting it. And it's now you're trying to create everybody to have that confidence and that belief in them. It's very important too.
Great insight, great advice there.
Hey, coach, a brief interruption of our podcast. You know, the best player development is coaching development. So let's work together to get your entire basketball organization or program unparalleled expertise and access to Basketball Immersion's group memberships. It's affordable and your players will thank you. Contact us today, basketballimmersion.com contact page, or DM us on X or Instagram. Get your coaches full access to our extensive coaching video library, detailed courses, and modern evidence-based coaching ideas. You can have proven coach development at your fingertips for all of your coaches. Elevate your coaches, elevate your teams, get started now. Basketball Immersion Group membership is where innovation meets excellence. Contact us today at basketballimmersion.com contact page, or DM us on X or Instagram. Now back to the podcast.
You referenced the struggles. Let's particularly talk about versus the better teams on your schedule, the ones that have maybe talent to be able to counter it, or a system to be able to counter it. What are the things that give you the most struggles?
Our first game we had in a conference, one of our teams, we had basically our two scorers out and we were up by 10. They had a kid score 40 on us. We had a kid, two kids, dudes score in the 20s, but we kind of lost that lead in the fourth quarter. It's a 10 point, it's a great game. To me, it was on my fault because I got passive. I quit attacking on the press. I tried to control a little bit on offense. And I think we put the brakes on and made a mistake. So then we go in another game against St. Francis, phenomenal team. They beat us 70. And the first quarter is our worst quarter. I didn't call any timeouts. I just kept subbing. We didn't do a good job finding one of their players. They had one of those quarters. After that, things settled down. So then I learned, okay, I need to make sure maybe on a quick start, call the timeout, need to jump them, whatever. But it's still for me. But our girls played a little timid in that game. And I think it was like, hey, I'm afraid to keep pressing and being aggressive. And so, again, it went back. We weren't on the attack. So, you know, then we had a non-conference run, got back on the attack. Then we lost a close game here in the at half, kind of lost. And then we got beat on the road. And we turned the ball over against a zone press. And I have not yet – we have not prepped enough against a zone press ourselves. So things that I knew – that just sometimes you don't have enough time for everything. And we're still trying to polish what. So for me was understanding, okay, we got our quick zone press attack in. Doug gave me something unbelievable, super easy. And it stays in line with our fast break. Okay. Huge help for us, right? Then learning, okay, I need to make sure we are playing those 9 to 12 players. And I can't shorten and try to go 7 or 8 and couple girls playing 30. I can't do it. They need to be in that 25 and maybe 22 to 28 range, some of my better players, but I've learned that. So going into conference, I felt like we didn't have everybody, but at the same time, we were so used to scoring on quickly, right? Whether maybe the first side transition off of the press, but even in half court where now we were standing, we weren't getting what I call cutter motion, getting sign of the cuts in from the wing, filling up, touching the corners. So then that's been an emphasis for us as we go in to the next part of the conference. The last, we got 18 conference games left, the bulk of the season. So those, but it exposed us and then exposed me understanding We have to stay on the hunt on the defensive end. And I think we played more retreat. And sometimes I think it's a mindset like, oh man, we're playing this team. We're up. We're staying aggressive. Now we're playing maybe a team. We're back and forth. We're getting a little non-aggressive. And now they're attacking us a little bit where we have to stay aggressive. And I went back and looked at some Mark Campbell at Union's games while I was in California and seeing how aggressive they are. Looked at all of that aggressive. So staying aggressive, especially in the back of the press where you tend to want to go back and protect the basket. We need to be more aggressive and take that risk. As we yell steals, they yell buckets, try to gamble more, be more aggressive. And that's still something I think takes a little bit of time.
Love hearing about this, especially the psychology of it, and then you going through all this for the first time as well.
Yeah.
And imagine how much better a coach you're going to be in a few years after having
Yeah.
done this and
Yep.
experienced all these situations that appear. So culturally, what did this require for you and your program to be able to make this shift? You referenced the running part of it. What other things did you have to do culturally to make a shift?
Man, good questions. A couple of the girls that I've had, we've gone head-to-head battles with Olivet, believe it or not. And Laura and I are really good friends and have so much respect. And they didn't want to play the system. And then I tell them, hey, we're going to go to the system now. And they're thinking at first, but I tell you what, and it was trying to teach them. Kim Caldwell, I've never met her. I probably need to reach out in the off season, but I've watched so much on her from a video, her press conferences, before games, after games, any article. I'm keeping this big system folder of everything between that. I can find notes from Doug, my notes. I'm journaling on the year, but hearing things that Kim Caldwell said about her team, hey, you're going to get more shots than if you play 30 some minutes. And her backing it up with the statistics of some of her players that were at Tennessee with the previous staff to with her first year, their numbers were better. And so even showing the girls that, like, look, and then the girls seeing, whoa, I took the ball finds your better players still. I believe that. And seeing our better players are still getting, wow, they're getting a lot of shots. And the neat thing the other day in California, we had three girls play 35 or more minutes. And they all told me, I asked, so what did you think? He said, Coach, I was gassed in the fourth quarter. And I said, yep, I learned that too. And he said, I feel like I'm better. I'm more aggressive on defense and offense when we're playing the shifts like that. And I know I have the energy, I'm getting the recovery. And so that taught me a lot there. So instilling that in them that they're still going to get those minutes. And there's one of our girls is on pace. She's on pace to shatter the 3-point record. And I think if we played regular, she's already in the 40s from threes in 14 games. She's going to get it. She's almost at, might be at 50 since the holiday. She's going to get it most likely. And probably in 28 games compared to the other girl, I think it's 108 who played postseason. We don't even know about postseason. So I think selling that on them. And then the other thing for us, it really matches our recruiting. We got great young ladies. We always tell them this is our culture, boom, boom, and we're not going to bend for anybody. This is who we are. This is how we do it. If it's not for you, it's okay. We're not going to tuck shorts. We're not going to roll shorts. You're going to show that pretty G on them uniforms. We don't paint our nails during the season. That's a Geno UConn thing I took. If you can't sacrifice that little, then you ain't sacrificing. When the seasons of them girls get those nails done, they got the appointment. And it bought into our culture too. It's not about you. It's about the team, the unselfishness that we've always preached. And I think you have to give a little bit. You think, oh man, I'm not going to play 30 some minutes. I'm only playing 22, 24. But then they see, okay, I'm still getting it, but we got a young lady, Becca Gert. We brought her up from JV last year because of some injuries. Becca's probably the glue to the team. She's 14 points a game, 9 rebounds, leads us in steals. She's just an unbelievable worker, and she's putting up these kind of numbers. So again, I think it's allowed other players to shine, and through that development in that style. To even, hey, this girl's pretty good. You would never thought most likely, but I think the system allows some of those players to be better than you might think if they played and you're counting on them play 35 minutes a game in a different style of play.
That's the fascinating part about the psychology of this is like literally
Yes.
unlocking players. And it's like,
Yes.
how can you
Great
help
word,
them be the
unlocking.
best version of themselves And again, American high school basketball, we won't get into this, but not having shot clocks and not having a ton of decisions that players have to make within games takes away a lot of the fun of the game. My
Yes.
connect for you and for all of us is that playing faster increases the fun of the game because you get more decisions.
Man, so my boys, they have elementary teams here for the elementary school. It's a big deal in Indiana, in our county. And everybody, they won the championship again, 3 years in a row, undefeated. And usually a dad will coach. This year they had some teachers. They did a great job. But those boys, we do this with our boys. We played last year. I actually started, they had no idea, but I started pressing on makes and misses in their little travel team. And they just messing with it and seeing and the pace and the freedom. And I remember a team that was pretty good. They don't even have an offense. They don't even have an offense. And I'm like, why do we need one? We're pressing and we're running and they're learning how to pass and move and shoot. And they're playing the game with some freedom, right? Getting to that, I just think that's my opinion. More possessions, more shots, going to the boards. You might be less talented, but I think it'll give you a better chance to beat the more talented teams. And there's some teams in our league that we're not going to match them scholarship wise, but I think it's going to give us a better chance to get there to compete and have more success. And it may be this year, it may be another year from now as we learn it, but I truly believe it because my first year we did press a lot. But it was, and we pressed on 2-2-1 on makes and misses. And we were more successful against them. And we played a little more traditional style of play and really playing fast and shooting more threes. And that was another thing that's made me think, okay, to beat those couple 2-3 schools, I think this can give us a better chance as we keep instilling it and developing it and putting it in. And there's a million ways to do it. But when I go watch high school and I go watch, it just so many plays and sets and this and that. I just think boys and girls, I watched a high school boys game the other day and the kids you could tell didn't know, do I shoot, do I not shoot? Like they had handcuffs and it was slow, boring. And the other team, they had the freedom. And I just think you can always slow them down a little bit. Maybe say, hey, Johnny, or hey, Becca, hey, maybe move it a little bit more. But I think given instilling that belief and that freedom, I think it just benefits your team and your kid for the longer run. You can always maybe tighten the reins a little bit here and there. But man, that's just my philosophy, my belief. Like I'd rather err on that side of being more attacking and more aggressive than being more conservative. And that's just me personally.
Talk to me about the youth space. So you're
Yeah.
coaching your young team, you're putting
Yeah.
in the system. Like to me, this is what development is. And
Yes.
if we want better players and we want better decision makers and we want to solve for the problem of not high enough basketball IQ, we've got to put them in as many decision-making situations as possible. But within that, and this is what I want you to talk about,
Yeah.
there is a structure to this. There's a
Yes.
structure
Oh,
that
yeah.
gives them freedom, right? So it's not completely this decision fatigue, what do I do? What do I do? There's a structure. So talk to us about teaching that to your young team.
No, yeah. They're sixth grade boys. I have two twins, and we started putting in, like last year, we would press on makes and misses. Just man, didn't give them a lot. And we just always ran. We always teach the Paul Westhead transition. My college coach called it primary break, running those lanes. And we've always given them the freedom to play. Pass, cut, move, space. Neat, because this team is going in their fourth year together and their chemistry is so good. And we just don't have any set offense. When we have an inbound play, we just tell them to move around, get open. I swear it's the best inbound play in America, but it's taught them the freedom to play. And it's neat to watch their feel for the game and their togetherness. So now, the elementary team ball's over. And so we took seven kids from their team, we got five other kids. And so, like today, we did one-on-two trap, working on trapping the ball. Guys got the ball at the baseline and they're trapping, and we're making them talk and we're teaching them and making them talk. And then we did four-on-three rebounding where, okay, you're shooting the three, everybody crash, shooter get to the top and throw it back out, relocate, right? Crashing the boards. We did two-on-one, working on just two-on-one, playing that one in the back defense, but also on offense. We're doing three-on-two. I said, now we're not doing three-on-two shooting layups. We're shooting threes. And you could see them like, we're pitching ahead. You better shoot it and crash and relocate. I tell you what, It's funny, we got a couple new kids, and my twins said this morning, said they love it. And the kids are loving it, but it's been neat because they're hesitant to shoot and teaching them, no, shoot. And I think it's, again, my look is as they get older, we're instilling confidence, we're instilling belief, we're helping them be a better player, we're not putting handcuffs on them. You're 5'10 as a sixth grader right now. You know, you're going to shoot threes. You need a dribble. You need to learn all this instead of you just go down low. So we're trying to teach all those kids, regardless, all those things, and then learning to play basketball within the structure of, we'll give them a base, the lanes and some things like that. We'll have our point guard designated. But again, the structure of the press, we worked on three face. We call it face. You're face guarding. We're trying to trap. Ball gets in, trap, take away the lag pass, teaching them that, right? So we're giving them structure, but the neat thing for sixth grade boys is I got to step back and I'm not yelling right now. You got to talk. You got to talk through the traps. You got to be yelling one more. You got to be yelling relocate. So again, teaching the structure within that. And again, just like anything you do, it's just rep. And the other thing I've learned a lot, and I've changed the last few years, but even more this year, is just teaching more. And I think the guy that's at Iowa, Ben, I forgot Ben's last name, that was at Northwestern, then at Drake, McCall,
Ben
whatever,
McCollum.
McCall. I think I remember reading an article in The Athletic. They are very heavy in 5-on-5. And I think I read some things on Jim Clutchfield as well. And so I've really gone more to teaching things out of 5-on-5, right? Teaching, not spending forever in a closeout drill, not spending for teaching closeout. Hey, here it is, do it in 5-on-5, and putting kids in those situations more of playing the game and learning through that 5-on-0, 5-on-5, and then some of the drills I've mentioned. And of course, mixing in some shell. Mark gave us a great drill. We just call it 4-on-5 scramble instead of your traditional shell. Now you're really communicating and talking, and it ties into that press. Because you're getting back, you are in a scramble situation, ball pressure, get up in the passing lane, and then we just call it flooding to the ball or loading to the ball. You got two in the lane, just again, which is very similar to that style. And so there is structure within it. It's not what I think some people think. And I think Dave Arsenal and the guy at the Redlands and Doug and Kim Caldwell's coach, Bunky somebody, all these guys that did this 20 plus years ago, and now Nate Oates, Bruce Pearl, all these guys have been doing it the last 5, 6 years. I just think it's unbelievable to see where those guys thought of the game and had the guts to do it then, where I think today it's a lot easier to do it. But again, it's, and I think you can do it at all levels. The guy I can remember, I now I'm just, when I was at Auburn Montgomery, the what's his name, the coach at Texas A&M now, Bucky Ball, don't they call it Bucky Ball? He was at Samford.
Bucky McMillan, yeah.
Bucky McMillan, right? So we're at Auburn Montgomery, and he's at the school in Birmingham, and they're playing a team out of Montgomery, and they're both two of the top teams in the nation. I'm sitting in their packed gym, 3,000 people. And let me tell you what, they ran those dudes out of the gym between shooting threes and pressing. And it's so neat to see, all right, there's a high school coach did it, took it to Samford, and now they're in the SEC. Kim Caldwell goes from Division II to Marshall to Tennessee. And so I think, again, whatever you believe in it, you emphasize it, you know how to teach it, you know how to coach it. And I think if you're a good coach, you can coach anything. You just got to learn it and teach it and believe in it. And so it's neat to see a lot of people at a lot of levels do it. And my last thing, but I truly believe at the high school level, with a shot clock or without, I think if you can control your feeder systems, your middle schools, and you get kids to do this, you're going to have more participation. You're going to get player development, and you'll have more kids engaged and excited about doing it, knowing, man, I'm going to get some shifts today. Yeah, I may not play as much as the other, but I might get in 4 or 5 minutes. That's a big deal. And I think creating that enthusiasm for young kids is a big responsibility of not just a high school coach, middle school coach, but us at college as well.
I couldn't agree more, especially because at the youth level, particularly when you get to that seventh, eighth grade level, we predetermine who's good and bad way too
Yes.
often. And we don't give kids a chance to actually develop. And systems like this give all kids a chance to be able to say, oh, wait a minute, that kid's actually good, but I predetermined this kid's good, so they're going to dominate the game. And that happens way too much in the youth space. And I know you see that with your youth
A
coaching.
lot. I do. I really do. And you're right about it. And I think the biggest thing with this brand of ball is you have to let go. But look at Bruce Pearl, and I'm being from Alabama. Look at Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates and the Bama and Auburn team, the freedom, right, that they give those guys on the offensive end. And I think they always say, but you better bust your butt. They're going to play hard. They're going to play defense. I remember that Coach Clint Kay, he's always given his, and that, well, they got great players. Let me tell you something. You take a youth kid and you teach them some fundamentals and you instill that confidence and that freedom, because defense is just get the frick after it, man. Play your butt off. Yeah, do some things, but it's an effort. But the offensive side is so much mental, and give kids freedom and trust them, and they'll do good, because I do believe it instills that confidence in them. It's not mean you're letting a two-hand shooter go out there and just jack it up, but my point is, I just think it's a big part of this game, which coaches have to be willing to let go some.
I'll go a step further. I think we should let that young player, that developing player who shoots it with two hands, jack it up,
Amen.
especially understanding space and open and the different things that the system teaches. Because where's that kid going to get motivated to get better if we tell him to go screen every possession? Oh, no, just be a good person, just defend,
Man,
just screen.
nailed it.
What are you going to be when you're 16? This system frees up all kids and in some ways takes the power away from you as a coach, which I love
It
as well.
does. I do too.
Listen, I want to ask you the defensive metrics. Traditionally, again, we get scored on. That's bad, obviously. So, getting not just the psychology, but how do you evaluate a defensive possession for your team, regardless of outcome of the possession?
Really great question. The big thing we've been big on is we know we're going to give up some points in the paint through the press, right? The thing that we're trying to get better at, and I think one of the hardest parts in learning with the press is you get a little bit steal happy. And so in the traps, you get steal happy. And that's the part that we got to get a little bit better at, especially on our miss press some. Is okay, whether we're trapping the rebounder or we didn't get the rebounder, that we're still in good, solid man-to-man full court pressure and getting back, not reaching. That's where we get missed a little bit, is the miss press steal. We might be in a trap, but we're trying to gamble and steal, and then they get past us, and now they got some numbers. And then we got to make sure that sprint from behind, let's protect the rim. We'll give up a kick three. That's a lower percentage shot. And rebound. So some of the things that we've been trying to do is a big thing for us is our offense, their offensive rebounds, making sure if we want them to take a quick shot, speed them up for the quick shot, making sure we're doing a good job boxing out. That's the thing we're always harping on. The other thing for us, a little bit learning, is again in that press, understand you're going to give up some easy twos, but let's be aggressive in trying to get those steals from the back of the press. Then when we're in the middle, in our basic, say there's a 2-on-1 or the numbers are there, is that we are doing a good job in the middle and that we're trying to make that girl give it up, but we're getting better. It's the other players getting down. It's that sprint and helping, anticipating the three. I'm running out to steal the three. Or I know that, okay, there's that 2-on-1. I'm running through to get the other block, get that girl, run through that path. So those are some things later in the press where I think sometimes for us that we don't do good defensively is we're not attacking that. And then we do give up maybe an easier two. We leave that person by themselves. So evaluating that, I'm not big on the field goal percentage, studying all these other coaches. I even see Nova Southeastern, they give up some points in the paints too, you know. Everybody, you understand that. But the big thing is for us at the end of the day, what we're trying to make sure is that shot differential. And it's our turnovers and their turnovers, all our offensive rebounds, their rebound. And then we are trading the threes. And we know that. I'm not real big on field goal percent defense like you would normally be. If I'm looking and we got plus 20 or 25, chances are we got a chance to win that game. And some of the games that we've lost in our conference, we didn't get the difference on the shots. They did. And so just continue to emphasize that formula and playing towards that formula a little bit. But that's probably the biggest thing. That's the mental hurdle still, I think, with our team sometimes is I'm giving up some twos. I'm giving up some twos. it's okay. You're going to give up some. And it's still, that's, I just think that's a natural mental hurdle because we're so used to being more contained, get back, don't give up easy twos. And it's going to happen. It's that high risk reward thing. And I pulled up all the Nova stats before we went to California. Look at everything. I pulled up Union stats. I pull up Tennessee stats. I pull up them to look to make sure because there's still that little bit me. We gave up 40 points to a kid. Now she is average, putting points up on everybody, but we could have done a better job on some things with her. But that's also for me, I'm learning some of that. I'm learning how to counter some things. Okay, when we play them the next time, these are some things we can do a little bit better job of. And yeah, so those are some of the ways we're trying to evaluate, but it's not heavy on the percentages and some things like that, which is crazy, but I love it.
I love hearing about it. I love the passion from you. So you referenced like Nate Oates, Bruce Pearl, some coaches that have adapted some of the ideas from the system.
Right.
Talk to us then, if you were just going to pick a piece or two of the system, the
Yeah.
mentality, the psychology, the actual tactics of it, what would they be?
Oh, I think number one, the freedom on the offensive end. And really putting the emphasis in that pace, really playing a fast style of basketball, getting that ball down quicker, trying to get something in that 5 to 15 before the defense can set and the freedom. And then I think on the defensive end is the press, just the press, getting kids to learn. I think the press is both things. It teaches them on defense, it teaches them offense to be aggressive and attacking. And I think that's one of the hardest things to teach, especially youth. Young girls, young boys to the high, and even when we get them, that aggressive mindset that you're always attacking and you're always attacking on offense, you're always attacking on defense. I think that's the, to me, the big foundation, the things that I would say most important is developing that. And that's what I've learned is you're going to just be on the attack and you're going to get scored. You didn't get time. Get it out. Go. Get that steal. Go. But creating that, and I just think, and it's not going to happen over your first 20 practices. It's not going to happen over your first few games. It's going to take some time. And I think that patience and continue to, I can see why those coaches that I've talked to have said, don't, you're going to play a team that might be a little more athletic, quicker, faster, and you're going to want to do more. No, you keep trapping, you keep being aggressive, you keep going for those steals. And then I think you're creating and that you're creating that mindset there on the attack and they're figuring it out together. They're taught and then it now it becomes just second nature to them. And that's the level we're trying to get at, I think, on still on both sides of the ball.
Coach Davis, thank you for joining us. When I saw that score and I went and watched the video, I knew I wanted to try and reach out and just not just the fact that you're running the system and you put up those
Yeah.
points, but even this mental shift that you've gone through, your
Yeah.
program's gone through, and it's just awesome to be able to hear. And I can't thank you enough for sharing the game with us.
Oh man, your stuff is unbelievable. I stole a play the other day from you, horns clear or something, and we added that in. And I would tell all coaches out there, don't be afraid to be you. Don't be afraid to change. Don't be afraid to try something different. And Doug told me, you, this is different. And I said, Doug, I'm all in. And we hadn't wavered. I think as coaches, it's good for you. It rejuvenates you. And not to say what you always do works, but I think it's important to continue to grow and find ways to keep your interest. And I just think we get too afraid. And I've always said, and I would encourage any coach, if they're going to fire me, it's not going to be for my work ethic and my integrity. And I think when you can get past some of the fears, the wins and the losses, trust me, we all, my college coach always said, Danny boy, they fill up the left side of the column more than you do the right side. And I totally get it. And but I just think as coaches, man, don't be afraid to think outside the box. Don't be afraid to try something completely different. I think it's what's so exciting about our game. It's something every year. And I started out as a high school coach. And I had to do so many different things because our talent was different from year to year and things like that. And I've had to do different things even at the college level. And it's been fun learning and growing. But I will tell you this, Chris, I found a brand, a style of ball that this is what I'll finish my career in, no matter where I'm at or the level I'm at. I have found something that I just love, man.
Love that. Thank you so much, Coach.
You bet, man. Appreciate it.